"Oh, I cannot think of anything I like better than stewed beef," Temeraire said, leaning over the cooking meat to inhale its vapours, "or at least when it is so particularly good." Gongsu had contrived with his assistance to cut out a little hollow of water from the river, into which a fine, fat specimen of the herd had gone along with many stones Iskierka had heated for the dragon's dinner, and the soup was doled out in bowlfuls to the men to eat with their salt pork and biscuit. Lawrence took a cup of the broth and some biscuit himself, and walked out a little distance into the valley. The earth was soft and springy beneath his feet, unmarred by rocks or stumps, and the leathery smell of the cattle as familiar to him as breathing. He might almost have been on his father's estates again in Nottinghamshire, but for the glorious, rearing escarpments of sandstone, yellow and grey and red, which framed the wide, comfortable bowl of the valley floor. When Temeraire had eaten, they went aloft together to the heights, and cleared away a little space amid the vegetation. The long, thickly forested slopes curved downward to the valley floor like widespread green skirts, then thinning out into grassy plains. Timber and grazing land as well, and the valley stretched a considerable length, ample to any use. The river's banks needed only to be widened a little, and the mouth of the valley cut to allow for a most convenient road with easy supply of fresh water for driving cattle.
"If one should put up a pavilion here," Temeraire said a little wistfully, "I do not think anyone could ask for a finer prospect. Look at those falls over there, and all the cattle would be in view."
If a great deal of labour would be required to realise such a project, dragon strength could make light work of that. Temeraire might fell the timber they required and manage the stone as they quarried it, even while the men were set to cutting the road back to Sydney, Lawrence thought. And when they had finished, there would be no great difficulty to bring back more cattle along it. The valley could certainly sustain a herd of thrice the size at least, enough to support even four dragons, if the beasts should supplement their diet with game. Lawrence put down his glass, half amused to discover in himself so much inclination towards this peculiar sort of domesticity, when he thought how eagerly he had fled from any such work as a boy, and spurned with contempt the management of estates, or anything so quiet and unadventurous as a comfortable living, in the face of his father's impatience and punishment both. He had never seen any honour to be won on fields such as these. Now it seemed to him the cleanest place in which he had seen in life.
"The trail continues westward," Farke told him, when they had returned to the valley floor, "and I am left none the wiser as to its source. It must meet the coast somewhere to be taking on goods from the ships. But I expected to find the path curving, or doubling back upon itself sooner than this."
"Now that you are certain the goods have come this way," Lawrence said, "might your search not be more fruitful if you sailed along the coast, to examine what nearby harbours, not so distant from the trailhead, should suffice to host a merchant vessel? Or," he added, "you might leave a sentinel over the trail and see who will appear."
"No one will appear," Tharkay said, "now that we have come to occupy the valley with three dragons. We might as well be knights on errantry, blowing horns as we go. I expect you will be staying," he added, half a question.
Lawrence paused.
"It is certainly an ideal situation for a covert," he said slowly, and looked at Temeraire. "Could you be happy with such a home?" he asked. "I know it can offer none of the advantages of a more improved location."
"Oh, as for improvements, we may make our own," Temeraire said, "and I dare say once the eggs are hatched, we will make a great deal of progress, particularly as these trees and stones are not anyone's property, and we do not need to buy them before we make use of them. I must say," he added, "while it is strange there are no dragons here, it is very convenient not to always be wondering if something you happen to look at is already someone else's territory, and they will be upset that you have taken one of their cows."
He seemed as delighted with the prospect as ever he had with privateering, and later, as the sun dipped below the escarpments and they settled to sleep, Temeraire expounded drowsily on his thoughts, adding,
"We will certainly put up a splendid pavilion out of this fragrant wood, and some of this yellow rock. And, Lawrence, when we have done so, and increased the herd, why, I would put this territory against any in the world. And, perhaps, Maximus or Lily might yet come and visit, or we might have an artist come and work up a painting of it which we might send to them to look at, and another to send to my mother also. I am sure she would be curious to see it, and it cannot fail to please. I do not think we have seen a valley like this in China.
There are very many interesting places there, of course, and the city cannot be compared, but one might be very well content here, I think.
Lawrence could not encourage him to hope for dragon visitors, but he was glad, nevertheless, to see Temeraire so contented. The men had built a small fire for the comfort of its light. The temperature had fallen in the dark to a milder degree, and, settled on Temeraire's forearm, Lawrence was conscious himself of a great weight lifted from his shoulders. If politics should deny them the chance to be of use in any material way in the war, there was at least work here to be done which he could not disdain, and the hope of building something rather than tearing away to no purpose. The steady rush of Temeraire's measured breathing made a constant, like the ocean lapping the side of a ship. The wind breathed through the trees. Lawrence slept as solidly as he ever had in life, and roused to Temeraire snorting with displeasure and raising his head. Ischirka had nipped him on the back of the neck.
"Whatever is the matter?"
Temeraire said irritably.
"I was having a very pleasant dream. You need not have interrupted me."
"There's no time to be sleeping," Ischirka said. "The egg is gone."